Thank you for that lovely welcome. And happy Easter to you. Today I'm going to be doing some readings from my third book, Izzy, which is a work of fiction, my first fiction. And it has some spiritual things to say in it, and it said them to me. It's a suspenseful book with a mystery, which the reader will decide. It's about three little boys growing up on a remote island, two in a remote island and one in the US. And because this is a specialized audience, I will tell you that perhaps Jesus was cloned. You'll decide whether one of the little boys is a clone of Jesus, but he is very highly intelligent. He's an empath and he's a genius. One of the boys' dad is a scientist who's also avidly religious. He goes to the island primarily to build a church. Jack, his son, as so often is the case, doesn't become interested in religion. He becomes interested in science. The other child's father is a scientist of Jewish background, but he's agnostic, and his son is Izzy. The third boy, raised in the US under hard circumstances, doesn't intersect with the other two boys until they're grown. The boy, Izzy or Isaiah, becomes interested in religions of the world. I'm going to read some pages of the Izzy. And first I want to say that the book was written in three parts. And I'm a character writer. I like to develop the characters so when something happens, hopefully you care. It also has some action, but basically it's character. And in each of the three parts, Izzy speaks directly to the reader. The others are all written in third person. So I'm going to read part one and part two so you can get to know Izzy. I watch the shapes wobble and bob on my ceiling. Blue and white circles twist into ovals, then undulate into undulating rectangles. I don't know, it's water's reflection from the pool outside my second story window. I don't know that I'm on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. All I know is that water is my first pacifier, my first illuminated crib toy, my first toy. This light show, along with the smell of salty human air, is my constant companion. I hear a faint singing. As soon as the blinding light came, so did the voice. When enfolded in the sound source, a deep bass vibrates through my body. Every cell within me comes alive just hearing it. Sometimes, when I'm skin to skin on the voice, the sound comes to me as a contented purring. The voice is my comfort. Soon I'm able to see the owner of the voice, my first love. Within a year, I'll struggle to say da. And when I do, the face lights up. His eyes light up, sometimes with a delightful laughing musical sound. So I say da more often. And the voice encourages these attempts until finally I ripen it from da into daddy, my daddy. My daddy is as warm as my crib blanket. His face is soft and sometimes stubbly. The first time I feel the bristles, I quickly withdraw my hand and daddy melodiously laughed. So I did it again just to hear the music. I can't get enough of my daddy. If I could crawl inside his mouth, I would. And I'd sit there in that warm, wet environment and ardently await the next sound to bubble up from the depths. Eventually, I learn I am Isaiah. Daddy calls me Isaiah, Izzy, or Iz, until my ears plant the word deep within my being, inside my heart like a seed. And the seed soon cracks my heart wide open, allowing this daddy love to not only nourish and sustain me, but to propagate. So those are the baby thoughts of Izzy. And now you'll hear the teenage thoughts, because the first part is his childhood, second part is his teenage years, third part adulthood. I love sitting here on the most prominent rock when the Pacific Ocean is at its highest in the middle of a tide pool. Even though all the surrounding water is shallow, it looks as if I'm in the middle of a deep sea. I have just enough room to lie on my back and look at the azure sky. Seagulls and clouds move above me. Salt air and seaweed waft around me. Occasionally, I hear a plunk, perhaps a crab, doing a belly flop off a boulder into the water. The vast sky awes me. The stones warm me, and the lapping water soothes me, and I ponder. Uncle Jay, or Uncle John, says I'm an old soul. I know I'm completely different than anyone else on the island. Are there people like me on the main continent? Do some of them wake up in the middle of the night feeling and hearing a mother humpback whale's distress because her calf got tangled in a discarded fishing net? Do they know when baby bunnies miles away are being threatened by a predator? Do they suffer a northern cardinal's frantic distress when one of her eggs has fallen from the nest? Can they walk miles directly to the spot, retrieve the egg, and restore it? Do pelicans and seagulls land on their shoulders? Do wild animals and domestic ones nose up to them unafraid? Can they see disease inside a person? Can they tell if the person is going to become sick? Can they feel the fear behind the anger, the sadness behind some caring? Can they detect lies as easily as if the truth were being televised across the person's forehead? I could always win at cards, kickball, and baseball. I could win every race. I could reveal things never told to me, like my friends' most significant moments or worst secrets. How do I know these things? Dad says I have a photographic memory, but how do I remember what hasn't happened yet? Jack, my best friend, often slaps me on the back and says, "Come on, Dizzy, lighten up." Sometimes it's hard to do with the weight of so much knowing. For example, my father isn't my biological father. I used to ask him about it many times. Finally, he told me I was adopted. My birth parents were Winnie and Henry Fitzwilliam, and they had died in a plane crash shortly after I was born. That, I knew, wasn't the truth either. They weren't my parents. But the depth of anguish and despair in my father's heart made me quit asking. I'm learning to control, manage, and block the information that comes to me from all directions. I've learned not to tell all that I know, not to express all that I feel, and not to give voice to all my questions. But even silent, I am different. Giant drops of water fall from the sky and sting my skin, and I sit up. It's our regular afternoon rain shower. My rock is one of many now that the tide is going out and my personal sea is broken up into segments. I'll go home now. I'll wrap my arms around my father, seeking his warmth, his shelter, and for a moment, I won't feel so alone. Thank you. So those are both direct words from Izzy. Now I'm going to read a part when Izzy... Oh, and I'm not doing this to sell books. If you want to buy it, it's at Amazon, and that'd be great, but you have to leave a review. That's a caveat. It's just a have to. But Izzy is now an adult, and he's gone off into the world, and he's visited many countries, and one of his good friends comes to visit. There were three musketeers on the island, Jack, Izzy, and Mimi, and this is Mimi's visit. After the porter came, served the wine, Mimi took a sip and said, "So catch me up on, the last 10 years or so. You know most of it from my letters. I travel, meeting and talking to different groups of people. And you have a following." "Well, yeah, but that's not my intention." "I know, but some of your talks are posted online and most people like them." Iz was silent. "You have detractors too, Iz. That worries all of us who love you. Disparagers are a part of life." "Yes, but today's critics can be dangerous." Izzy shakes his head. "They always could be." Mimi sighed. "Can I ask you a couple of personal questions?" "Of course. We don't have any secrets." "Oh, I think we've had some secrets, or perhaps just things that I didn't even have the words to question. I don't think any of us have ever known a fraction of what's in your mind." as he looked at her and grinned. Well, that's probably a good thing. Mimi took a deep breath. Okay, now for one of my questions. Shoot. I've had a crush on you since kindergarten, and for a while, I thought it was mutual. Was I leading myself on, Iz? Mimi, you've always been center and special in my life. Yeah, I know, but not girlfriend, boyfriend kind of thing, not a marriage thing. Mimi's face reddened. Mimi, I'm married to the world. Why? Because I see it and feel it and love it. It is my first adult love. I don't understand. Does that mean you can't have a flesh and blood love? All my loves are flesh and blood, Mimi, all of humanity. That's too big to love, Izzy. They can't hug you or sit with you in sad times. No, I give and receive hugs. They nourish me. I have people who sit with me in all kinds of situations. Mimi took a sip of her wine. When did this first kind of universal love happen? On the island, it was my world. If I'd stayed there, perhaps it would have remained my universe. But I went to America. And now I've touched India, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Turkestan, Yubistan, all the stands, Yemen Islands, Jordan, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and of course, Egypt, where we are now. Mimi shook her head. You sound like a world atlas. Just because there are so many countries in the world, why do you have to love them? Because I do. That's not an answer. Okay, because my consciousness is aware of all consciousness. And that means you have to make them your first love, travel, and give up any semblance of a real life? Doesn't mean I have to, it means I am. If you were hiking through a beautiful valley and saw a herd of baby lambs, helpless and alone, you would herd or guide them to safety, and you'd fall in love with them. Mimi laughed. Yeah, because who can resist a baby lamb? People, humanity, are baby lambs to me. They're beautiful, and I want to open them to love without ego. Without ego, is that even possible? It is possible if you recognize ego. Sipping more wine, taking in the fragrance of black cherry, currants, and blackberry with a hint of licorice, Mimi smiled and stretched. Quietly looked out at the city that was beginning to turn into a portrait of lights, street lights, car lights, and the lights illuminating the pyramids. Can you give me an example? Mimi nodded yes. Do you ever listen to your thoughts without speaking? Sure, I listen to them all the time. Your thoughts are part of your ego. You are not your thoughts. Okay, then what am I? You are the consciousness listening to your thoughts. Oh, Mimi sat up. The thing listening to my thoughts. What is listening to my thoughts when I do that? I've never questioned that. Many, perhaps most, do not. That is your consciousness, and it is connected to everyone's consciousness and the great consciousness. By that, you mean God? God, Allah, Father, Sky, Sister, Brother, your awareness of it, whatever you call it, it can help you not to live in the ego state. Well, for example, your mind is your ego. The ego's thoughts come from identification of something inside you that you've decided is the truth. Like the statement, I am a woman, I am a Christian, I am a Caucasian, African-American or Asian. Well, I am a woman, a Christian, and a Puerto Rican. But first, you are consciousness connected to all. The ego statements separate you from others. Women leaves out 50% of folks. Christian excludes all other faiths, and Puerto Rican is a finite population. But it is a part of my identity, is it? Listen to this and see if you hear a difference. Okay, Mimi said, facing him. Instead of I am a woman, how about I am a human being with female genitalia? Mimi giggled. Well, that's rather long to say in the doctor's reception. But do you sense a difference between the two? Mimi set her wine glass down. I am a human being who happened to be born female. Yes, Izzy laughed, even better than I did. Do you sense the difference? Surprisingly, yes. I feel a part of everything instead of just one part of everything. Exactly, as he beamed and saluted her with his sparkling cider. Good for you. Let me try the others. I'm a human being who chose the Christian faith for worship. Yes, as he jumped up, pumping his arms. You've got it. Last one. I'm a human being who happened to be born into a Puerto Rican family. Mimi smiled. So it's easy to get rid of ego. Well, I wouldn't say it's easy. It's something to be watched all the time. If you know you are not your thoughts, you can monitor yourself for language that causes separation. Is this what you're telling people from all those other countries? Yes, in part. Mimi said. In a tiny way, I can minutely understand why you love the world. That's good, Izzy said, sitting back down. And it frees me to look for love elsewhere. I think I've been holding out for you. Izzy smiled and took her hand. I wish you the best love ever, Mimi. You will always be special to me. And that concludes Izzy. Thank you.